it or not, I think we have accomplished our mission this morning because we have with us Ducks Dynasty Originals, all three of them here this morning. There's a lot more, but I've got Alan and Lisa with us, and I have Miss Kay with us too. So we are very blessed here this morning. How you doing, Alan and Lisa?
We're doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. The weather is going to be beautiful. You're coming here to South Main Baptist Church tomorrow. Going to be here early, 8:30 in the morning. And then you've got another session at 11 o'clock. And it's going to be great. And then you're bringing a very special guest with you, Miss Kay. And I understand we have her on the line with us. How you doing this morning, Miss Kay?
I'm wonderful. That's what. I've been up and cooking.
You've been up and cooking. Well, what a surprise from the person who believes that families, keeping them together with food and love and religion is the best way to go.
That's correct. Well, you know what my motto is, right? If you feed them, they will come.
Well, you've been feeding a lot of people there. I tell you what, one of the things I wanted to ask you, I understand through reading and everything that you keep this family together and keep them under control. I want to know how you do that.
Well, it's not easy, I'll tell you that. And I will say I do have the best son on with me today that's kind of a peacemaker that helps me. The other ones are just, you know, they're kind of out of control, but they're not as bad as Uncle Si, so I've got my blessings.
Well, I guess you do. And, you know, I was reading over your background bio. Gosh darn, you were a cheerleader back in the day, back when you were in high school, I guess.
I was a cheerleader. Can you believe it? I never could do a flip, but I could do a cheerleading stuff. And you know, that may be why I fell for the quarterback, which was Phil. Even though I think I liked his pioneer qualities more than I did his football ability, although that didn't hurt either.
Well, you know, I was thinking about you, Miss Kay. I also read somewhere that you were a debutante.
I was in a couple of beauty contests. I don't know if that counts.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that means, but I did wear evening dresses, and I was out on the stage hoping I wouldn't fall off the stage. But, I used to do things like that when I was young.
Well, you brought up a very interesting point about, you know, you couldn't decide whether it was his football qualities or maybe a little of the roughness around the edge. When I was, the first time I got married, I married a guy, and probably not many people know this. Everybody thinks I've been married to Jeff forever, and I have. But people said, "Ann, I can't believe you're going to marry this guy." And I said, "Well, I don't know how long it'll last, but we'll have a good time."
And well, I tell you, there's never been a dull moment. I'm doing a radio interview. I'm sorry, I had a guest come in, but he's fine. He's like one of my kids, so he'll be fine. I adopt all the boys or young men that come in because I've raised so many. So they just make themselves at home.
Well, I know you have enjoyed cooking all your life. In fact, you told me what? You'd already made some apple pies this morning and some...
I made a giant apple pie this morning, and I made 3 extra pie crusts to put in the freezer for later.
Now, my
homemade pie crust.
Now, my question to you is there a special little trick that you would share on the radio where you're making your pie crust?
Well, I wouldn't have enough radio time, but in my first cookbook, and Alan'll tell you all about that because he keeps up with everything, and Lisa, on my business end. But there is what you call a do-ahead pie crust recipe in there. And in that recipe, you're able to do ahead at one time. Then you can stick them in the freezer and then pull out as you need them, which is more convenient for me. But mostly people nowadays think that making their own pie crust is like dying. You know, I mean, it's not here anymore. But for my family, it's really special. They love
but
it.
Mom, how big do your hands have to be?
I knew you were coming out with that comment. I knew that was coming before I tried to teach Willie, and I'm trying to teach Alan how to make the pie crust because, you know, I won't be here forever. And Lisa will probably be the one that carries it on. But the problem with my sons, they have fat, meaty hands, which are not conducive to pie crust that you have to handle gently. Gently. Do you know what that means? Not fat hands that just move like so rough. I mean, they're like they're on a cattle ranch or something. I said, you can't work the pie dough like that. You have to be gentle. They don't understand it.
But you have a granddaughter that is taking over your business, right? You have a granddaughter that is working in your sweet shop, and she's pretty good, I understand.
She is. I have her and my nephew together, so there's nothing like family up there working and taking over. And of course, they have new ideas, and they know all the new stuff, which I don't. But I just carry on with the old because the way I look at it, you know, somebody has to.
Right. I saw a little video online last night where your granddaughter was talking about gelato, and I was watching the expression on your face.
I didn't even know. Well, I did find out what gelato was when I went overseas, but I had never known about that. I did not. In fact, I just thought it was a foreign term for something. But I didn't know I'd be selling it one day, which I am. And well, it's delicious, by the way. And just you eat one bite and you say, that's all I'm going to have. You've lied because you can't quit.
Well, that's the one thing about food. You know, if you have one bite and it's good, you got to have another, right?
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. That's kind of like this pie dough and things like that I make. You just can't take one. It's just not quite enough.
You know, and I think one of the things, Lisa, don't they sell their, you can order from the store, right?
Yeah, probably not gelato.
Right.
you can order Mr. Phil's pralines, and then you can order some of the cakes and some of the cookies and stuff like that, you know, and they can do next day air. So it's still very, very fresh once you get it.
Now the pralines are delicious.
Yeah. Now, what's the name of the store?
Miss K's Sweets and Eats.
There you go. So, but one of the things that I was thinking about on this is what was that building before? Because that looks really neat right there in Monroe. What was it before?
That building was the original service station. It was built in the 20s. In West Monroe, and then it was the whole time I was growing up here, it was an alternator shop. So it has like two bay doors on it. It's one of those old brick style buildings in an old downtown area. And a lady bought the building, and so she refurbished the inside. But it still has that great old feel to it. And Mom's family used to have a grocery store in their family for about 80 years. And it was called Caraway's Grocery in Ida, which is Mom's hometown. And so it's a lot like that building. Yeah, so Mom loved the building, and it just had that feel of, you know, home to her. So we've got some pictures in there of her when she was a baby in the store that her dad ran and everybody else in the family. So it's kind of a cool, you know, kind of circle all the way around.
Yeah, I love the old stores, particularly when they're repurposed and everything. So people can actually, if they go to Monroe, they can actually stop on by and eat right there.
Absolutely, 401 Trenton Street. It's hopping every day. In West
Monroe,
yeah.
It's a quadruple bridge at West Monroe, but it's a place called Antique Alley, which we have a lot of antique stores that are interesting and wonderful for people to see, and then my little place is down there, and it's wonderful. I love it. I hang out there all the time.
I think since Mom is an antique, she fits in beautifully on Antique Alley.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan. Thank you so much. I might be an antique, but I'm young at heart.
You know, I was thinking about...
Go ahead,
Alan.
I was just going to say, I was laughing when she said she couldn't do a flip as a cheerleader, but now she doesn't seem to have any problem at all. She just takes a misstep and she's doing all sorts of flips.
I knew he'd bring that out. You know, you can count on him. Anything to make me laugh. And all my boys do make me laugh, but this one can really do it. And he can aggravate me, too. They all can do that also.
Well, Alan, you actually, Miss Kay, you were like 16 or something when you had Alan, right?
Well, I just turned 17. I was so not mature. But I will tell you one thing. Alan, I don't believe I'd have made those early years with Bill without Alan. And he was just little, but he grew up fast.
Well, I was going to say, I imagine that you, the two of you actually grew up together.
Well, we did, and we tried to raise Phil together, and that took years.
Yeah, Dad's favorite thing to say now, he said it last night, in fact. We had a little deal out at Mom and Dad's house, and he was telling our guests that he said, you know, when I get my late, you know, a decade, like my late 60s, Al's in his 50s. He says, so, you know, we're practically the same age. I said, well, Dad, there's always going to be 18 years difference, but, you know, if it makes you feel good, that's, you're right. We're practically the same age.
Yeah, that's exactly how he feels, especially about Alan. I guess because he's been with us since college. You know, I mean, he grew up with all the married college people at Ruston, Louisiana, at Louisiana Tech. And, I mean, he didn't feel like a little boy. He just felt like a little college student, I think. I don't know. But
well, you know,
maybe that's why he matured so fast.
And it was interesting because we just did an episode of Dad's new show, which is In the Woods with Phil. It's on CRTV.com. And we did a show where about eight of Dad's old football buddies, teammates, came down, and he hadn't seen them in years. And we had lunch and just sit around and told some stories. And, you know, they kind of viewed me as sort of their, because they were all college students, but Mom and Dad are, you know, together and have me. So it's like, you know, I sort of was like the adopted mascot, you know, for all the football guys. And so it was really fun listening to them tell stories about me as a little guy. They would bring, they got extra milk and stuff as being athletes, so they would bring it by and give it to Mom for me. And, you know, just really cool stuff like that that I never knew. So it was a lot of fun for me to hear those old stories.
I think that is absolutely terrific, and I know that there were some really tough times when you were talking the other day, Alan, about how your dad had the bar and he was out, and it was really tough times for y'all there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bad.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Phil got on the wrong side of the. You know, he just started following the devil instead of the Lord, and just, you know, I don't know. I think he thought, well, I had a baby young, and I missed something, or so his teammates showed him, and so he was trying to kind of recapture that. He wanted us to, but then, you know, he decided he would just make a spin. But I'm going to tell you something. Me and Alan stuck together, and then, of course, we had Jace and then Jeff, and we made it. All I can remember is my grandmother said, you'll have to fight for your marriage, and that's what I did. But I don't think I could have made it without Alan, because even as a little boy, he was supportive. You know, he gave his first sermon, were you 8 or 9, Al, when you were preaching?
I think I was about 8, yeah.
Yeah.
He gave Mom a little sermon.
Yeah, he preached me out of the bathroom, because I'm telling you, I was crying and, you know, having a really hard time. And him and his brothers there preached to me. Most Alan did the talking. Jason was just nosing, trying to find out what was going on. And Willie was sitting there sucking his finger like he did as a little bitty boy. You could tell he was there. But we always laugh now that was Alan's first sermon. And I responded, so he got a response.
That's right. If I'd have just known to get a contribution, Ann, I could have run the whole show right there. I have to say, that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about tomorrow at South Main is the name of my sermon is A Mom's Faith That Saved Her Family. And I witnessed that, you know, Mom made a decision that changed our destiny, you know, and ultimately Dad came around. And same thing happened with my own wife. And then we're going to be looking at some biblical stuff. So, I mean, obviously that's a huge impact on our family. And it's the reason why we wound up on national television, able to bring some joy and some goodness to TV.
Well, you know, Alan, one of the things our country right now, and I don't want to make it political, but our country right now is in such division. All across. I mean, it's even hard. People that you think are your friends, if they have a different view, it's really hard to bring people together.
That's true. And that's one of the things I loved about, you know, it's one of the things we miss about doing the show now on a regular basis is I can't tell you how many places I go. And I mean, people of different color, different ethnicity, different political views, and yet they all came together around our show and loved it. You know, because of the aspect of everybody, you know, everybody loves family and the things that come out of that, whether it's a crazy uncle or, you know, the mom cooking great food or whatever. And so you're right. I mean, that's we try to have a super unifying message when we go out. And of course, the gospel of Christ doesn't get more unifying. So that's what we try to do is bring that to everybody.
And I think that is such a piece of the puzzle that is missing in so many aspects is the aspect of family. I mean, people are working hard. We've got all these gizmos and gadgets and we spend all our time and we forget about the most important thing is being with family, like having dinner together. I mean, that's such a big part. We've seen it and the studies show this to be true.
Yeah, and you know, Mom has a rule at our, and when we all get together, especially all of our grandkids and great grandkids now, is no cell phones at the table while we're eating.
Or the guests. So I even make the guests not have them either. I mean, I chose two of Sadie's dancing partners on Dancing with the Stars, and, you know, I'm sure nobody's ever told them that. They had their phones out, and I said, I just kept clearing my throat, and then Sadie said, oh, Mar, and the other one was Derek. She said, oh, I forgot. Remember me telling you about Mama, okay? She had no cell phones at the table, and they both just grabbed their phones and put them up and said, I'm so sorry. I forgot that. So it didn't matter. I guess if I had President Trump, I'd ask him to remove his phone, too. So, you know,
no tweeting during dinner, President.
That might could save us, Alan. That might could save us if he just put it down for a little while.
Well, if he goes to Miss Gay's, it's going down. I'm going to tell you right now.
No food. If you have your phone, you have to leave the table. I mean, it's just there. You want to be together. And how can you be together with somebody? I just think it's rude. But everybody says, well, she's just an old woman, Karen. No, but you know what? We laugh at the table when we talk, and it's wonderful. It's like it used to be. That's a thing that I hate has left us in America.
I think it has, and you're right. Lisa, how have you found the philosophy of no phones and family time? And we haven't talked to you much, but, you know, I know you're very passionate about family and everything.
Well, I'm trying to instill that with my grandkids, but it's tough because they like to be on that darn phone or on an iPad more than they like to visit with us. So whenever I'm out of town and come back home, then I'm like, okay, it's ma'am time now. You had all this time for your phone and your iPad. It's ma'am time now. So they and they take to it a little bit better now, but it's just, you know, it's almost ingrained in them at this age, and I think also in this time.
Yeah, it's very tough. And, you know, and that's why I, you know, when I'm out at a restaurant, sometimes you look over at a couple and they're both on their phones. And what are they doing? They're texting each other rather than just talking to each other.
Miss Ann, we had a couple that separated and eventually divorced through text.
Yeah, you hear about that stuff. Yeah, exactly. Well, I wanted to ask. Go ahead.
Phil doesn't have a cell phone. He doesn't do a cell phone. He doesn't, you know, he travels with people that have a cell phone, but he has none. And then he's on a computer show that he's never turned on a computer and wouldn't know how to work it for nothing. Now, he could maneuver his house out of 1,000 acres of land where me and you would be so lost, we could never get out. He could do all this stuff. He could survive with that man that's a survival expert. He could do any of that stuff. But you give him all that electronics, and he would just sit there and look at you like, I don't know what to do.
Well, that's why you're a good combo, because he can survive in the wild and you can cook him up good food and keep him happy at home.
And my kids can direct me in the electronic world, so that's fine. We're a family and we work together.
That's great. You know, Ms. Kay, I wanted to ask you about when Phil made those comments that got him suspended from from A&E, and that I think it was 9 days or something.
Right.
How did you bring that family together? And I got to know the truth. Did you whoop him?
Well, the thing that I love the most about my family is Phil told them, this is what I did. You have invested in this. You've already been, most of them have become in debt, you know, because of our nice salary we were making with the, you know, entertainment world. And, you know, he said, this is, you know, you make up your own mind. Do not do this for me. You just go. And each son, and I'll tell you, he might not tell you exactly what everybody said, but each son on their own called the next day and said, Dad, we're with you. We're with you. And it was no pressure under Phil. In fact, he didn't encourage them to do that. He told them to make up their own mind, didn't he, Al?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and basically we said, if Dad's not doing it and a part of it, then we're not going to do it. It's the only statement the family made through that whole ordeal, that we were sticking by our dad, you know. So it turned out.
And they,
you know,
all woke up. They woke up the next day. Each one of them told me the same thing. They were rather mad because all of a sudden it just, you know, it was attack on their dad, and they had never seen him do anything but good things, and they just knew that he only read words and that was from the Creator. And, you know, they just said on their own, no. We're not, he's not. And then when Willie's wife said, nope, if we go down together. We won't let Phil sink in the ship.
Well, that shows a really strong family, because there were a lot of dollars on the table there, weren't there, Alan?
There sure were. And we figured we lost several million dollars, you know, overnight, because now.
Well,
nowadays,
it was about $10 million. Willie had it figured.
Well, what happened is in the corporate
world, we lost that overnight.
They just, you know, they back away from me if you're just don't, you know, toe the party line of not of being politically incorrect. Don't say anything against anybody, no matter what your belief system is. So that's what happens. That's usually how they control people. But which, by the way, is why Dad's on a subscription model TV show now. He doesn't play well with sponsors, so we found him a way to be able to say whatever he wants to.
Well, that's why you're on that CRTV, right?
Exactly. Liberty's last voice. That's their motto, and so I love it. I love the network. I love all the folks that are on it, too. It's been a lot of fun for us this year.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, this has been just a blast to have Miss Kay with us. When I first asked, people went, oh, I don't know if we can do that or not, Ann. But this has been so awesome. I know you are looking forward to coming. Alan, you're going to be speaking tomorrow morning at South Main Baptist Church. What's the sermon's going to be about? Just give the people a little idea so they'll pack it in down there.
Well, I'm calling it Faith, Family, and Future. You know, we're known as Faith, Family, and Ducks, but we're going to talk about Faith, Family, and Future because decisions that are made affect our futures and our destiny. So that's what we're going to be talking about, talking a little bit about how that happened in our family, but also a really interesting woman in the Bible, a surprise guest tomorrow from the Bible that we're going to talk about as well. So it's going to be a fun morning. Toby Frost and all the guys out of South Main are wonderful. We were there a couple of years ago. They're good friends of ours originally they were in this West Monroe area for a few years at First Baptist. So we're looking forward to seeing everybody again, and hope you guys come out and pack it in. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. This has been such a blast. Ms. Kay, have you got any words of wisdom for our listeners? They're all classic country music listeners. What would you tell them?
Well, I'll just tell them that anytime a Robertson man speaks, they come from the Bible and they've got a heart of gold, because I know I raised them. They're not perfect, but Jesus makes us perfect, so we don't have to be. But they will receive a blessing. And with Al and Lisa, you know, they don't only have just the message to tell, which they always share the gospel, but their story of how, you know, God saved their marriage and everything. And, I mean, such a blessing just to hear them. And I remember at Toby, too. He's one of the few times he let me bring my little grandchildren up to sing in front of his church. And I tell you, that was a wonderful moment for a proud grandma. And, you know, he's special to me that he just let me do that, because most of the other churches don't offer it for me. But it was so special. So I can't wait. I know that... that it's gonna. Everybody will be blessed. Alan, you could listen to him so long. I'm telling you, he's good. And I know this, that well, you're his mother. That's what you'd say. But I'm really being truthful now. He is.
Well, I just Robertson, was. I was
tell it like it is.
Miss Kate, speaking of that, you tell it the way it is. Was there ever a sermon that Alan gave that you said, "Nah, son, I don't think it's that way," or "That was good, but you could have said this and it would have made it more better"?
Well, the only time is sometime when he, well, if he gives his daddy too much credit and forgets me, maybe I would get my feelings hurt. But other than that, no. I love every sermon Alan preaches. I never have found one I didn't like. But
and I have to say,
if he gives me, I might get my feelings hurt. I don't.
Somebody asked me that question about, was it intimidating to preach with your parents, you know, in the audience as part of your church? But I have to say, Mom and Dad and Lisa as well have always been my biggest cheerleaders. And so, you know, I've blown a few like some preachers do, but for the most part, they were always there just to encourage me and cheer me on. So I felt zero intimidation, but a lot of encouragement from my parents and Lisa.
That is terrific. Lisa, I know that you have such a good story. We talked about this the other day, just kind of to wrap it up. We talked about how, you know, your marriage was in a rocky place. You pulled it back together, and you tell him now that you love him more. You couldn't believe you love him more than you did the day before. And that bit about heaven, you got to repeat that, because I love that part.
Well, one of our mentors told us that there was, you know, and he's just studying this, but he said that there was no marriage in heaven, because I said, I want to be married to Alan forever. And he said, well, there's no marriage in heaven. And I said, well, but my relationship with him is so special. Maybe God will just make one exception whenever we get there, and I can have that, you know, that marriage in heaven. And he said, well, maybe there'll be a chance that you get to have a special relationship with him, you know, once you get to heaven. So,
well, me and Bill are gonna be best friends. We've already.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, I could never have imagined the life that we would have together. And it's wonderful. But, you know, part of that is because of the family. Everybody has rallied behind us and cheered us on, you know, once we decided to make a go of it. And so family is it. That's what's most important.
And I think for so many people that don't have family, that they're kind of lost. And I mean, you know, when you don't have it, it is something that is so important. If people have other people to support them, whether it's their blood family or another family that they're part of, it makes a difference in their life.
It sure does.
Absolutely.
You know what I say about that is, your main goal in life, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and then love each other. If somebody doesn't have a family, then you take them in. Let other people love them, because nobody should be left alone and not have somebody to love them or be with them on holidays and things like that. So I think it's part of our responsibility to look for those people.
Absolutely. And I got to ask you one last question, then I'm going to let y'all go. I understand that.
Yeah, I'm going to check my pie.
Yeah, I know. Your favorite family member, your Jack Russell Terrier. I understand you have a way of never missing your Jack Russell.
Well, every time one passes away, I just name them. I get another one and name them the same name, so I never lose one.
I love that.
We've had the name, the original name is Jesse James. But what happened was, the last time that I got my new one, we thought the other one was dying, and he didn't die. He came back to life. So then I had two with the same name, so I had to call the one I got, the new puppy, I call him Bobo as a nickname. So Bobo is Jesse's name at the vet's office and his original name. But so now what I've decided to do, I just can't get one early because then we have this problem, you know, because when they say he was dying, he didn't die. She didn't die. She kept living. In fact, the last one lived till she was 18 years old.
Wow.
The girl, Jesse James, and now Bobo is the boy.
Wow.
He's still going.
All right. Well, that is great stories here. Alan and Lisa, we look forward to seeing you tomorrow right here at South Main Baptist Church. Miss Kay, this is going to be extra special because you're coming with them too. So I'll let you go check your pies, and we'll look forward to seeing y'all tomorrow right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Thanks so much for taking time and talking to us this morning.
Well, you've been great. Great. Easy to talk to. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye,
thanks,
y'all.
Thanks, Ann.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.